Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News.
Greetings to you, people of Portland, from high above the milk packing district, in the heart of our fair city, in southeast Portland, Oregon. This, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson, alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
Opponents of same-sex marriage will be filing an appeal in the California case. A 5-year-old boy is missing at a state park on the Oregon coast. And the bike-riding butt-grabber has struck again at Nike.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, pay heed, for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Thursday, August 5th, 2010. Attorneys supporting the voter-approved ban on same-sex marriage in California filed a notice of appeal in the case Thursday, one day after a federal judge ruled that the measure is unconstitutional. However, Chief U.S. District Judge Vaughn Walker in San Francisco granted a temporary stay along with his ruling yesterday, which stops his decision from taking immediate effect. Proposition 8 fails to advance any rational basis in singling out gay men and lesbians for denial of a marriage license, he said in the statement, the opinion that he wrote, as it were. I'm just adding extra words here.
That's okay. I wasn't going to say anything about it.
Indeed, the evidence shows Proposition 8 does nothing more than enshrine in the California Constitution the notion that opposite-sex couples are superior to same-sex couples.
Well, of course he'd say that, Dawn, as a gay.
Is he gay?
Yes, he is.
Oh, I didn't.
I'm sure in no way will that fact be brought up by opponents of same-sex marriage as some sort of quasi-faux justification for the idea that it needs to be overturned.
Well, they're probably calling him, an activist judge, which
That's
seems
right.
to be...
You know, Don, judges are supposed to, they're supposed to enforce the law, not make the law.
Yeah, except that interpreting the law is what they're supposed to do.
What are you, a socialist, Don Taylor? Why do you hate America and children and freedom? Why do you love terrorists? That's what I want to know. 9/11.
Supporters of Proposition 8 argued prior to Walker's ruling that same-sex marriages would be performed soon after his decision and could be complicated by rulings and appeals farther down the legal road. The judge's decision striking down the ban handed supporters of gay rights a major victory in a case that both sides say is sure to wind up before the U.S. Supreme Court.
Which is awesome, by the way. I mean, it's awesome in the sense that it's just... It's going to be a spectacle the likes of which we haven't seen for quite some time. I would imagine it's going to be entertainment on a grand scale if your name is Rick Emerson. Especially because if you... not that I know a whole lot about things and stuff and facts and whatnot. But as somebody once said, when in doubt, you just sort of... you know, if you're dumb, you surround yourself with smart people. And so that's what I try to do at all times. That's why you're here. Because I'm not a learned man. Hmm. I'm just... I got a lot of soft, rounded edges in my head, intellect-wise. So I just find smart people, and I just sort of stand in their immediate vicinity, and I figure that, like an onion in the fridge, they will saturate me with their essence, and I will appear smart. So... just seeing a whole bunch of people who are, in fact, intelligent talking about this yesterday, it seems like that this guy ruled on it in such a way and his decision was phrased in such a manner that it's going to make it exceptionally difficult to overturn it, and it's going to make it exceptionally difficult for a you know, for another, for the Supreme Court, essentially, to find any rational grounds on which to do so. All of which means that it's going to be the best of all possible scenarios, that it's going to be some long, protracted, entrenched, horrible, divisive ground war when it gets to the Supreme Court. But then I will eventually win. So it's, you know, so it's like years and years and years of angering my in-laws. And then in the end, they lose anyway. It's a golden time to be alive, John.
A 5-year-old boy disappeared Wednesday while playing with other children at a state park near the Oregon coast town of Florence. About 30 police officers, firefighters, state parks employees, and citizens took part in the search for Isaac Glenn, who lives in Vineta. Isaac arrived at Carl G. Washburn Memorial State Park with family friends earlier in the day. State Police Sergeant Andy Kenyon said he was playing with other children near the campsite when one of the children noticed he wasn't there. Police said family friends, other campers, and park camp hosts immediately started searching the park, but they were unable to find him. State police were notified 30 minutes later. Lane County Search and Rescue is now leading the search operation.
Just for fun, we should go to Terry Horman's house and interrogate her about it right now. Just ask her where she was.
Or her neighbors.
Yeah.
Just ask her neighbors what they knew.
And then look through her trash. Just because it's fun. Here's Dawn Taylor.
A bike rider who has grabbed multiple women from behind as they jogged around Nike World Headquarters appears to have struck again. Nike security officers warned employees that a man grabbed a Nike worker on the running trail Tuesday just before 6 a.m. A memo was sent to Nike staff to alert them of the incident. The same man is likely responsible for at least 5 similar assaults in a 6-week span this summer, according to Washington County Sheriff's deputies, who said that all of the victims have been women and they've been targeted at different times of the day. In most cases, the man grabs the victim in the buttocks and then rides past them as he rides past them on a bicycle.
I think he's grabbing them on the buttocks. If you grab them in the buttocks, that's like you have to make an appointment for that.
Yeah. Why does he do that? Said Helena Fru, who was jogging in the area Wednesday.
Helena who?
I don't know. Fru. F-R-E-U-H.
I was throwing you a little, I was throwing you a little alley there to the oop. You just totally...
Oh. Through who?
No, it's too late.
Sorry, what?
No. You can't unring that bell. Don't worry about it.
Anyway, she said, why does he do that? I mean, get a life. What's the point?
I think she's not grasping something about the essential workings of the male mind.
Lorena Gonzalez, who was also jogging around Nike on Wednesday, said, I thought that after you guys announced it over the news that he wouldn't be coming back in here, but obviously not.
All right. I demand some sort of a buttock comparison so we can see, you know, so if there's a profile of who his victims are, you know, but just sort of an ass
see,
profile.
If there's a specific type of ass that he is attracted to.
Would that not then help you catch him in the future? Because
yeah.
If you were able to figure out exactly what sort of ass he was likely to gravitate toward as a criminal, then you could just plant somebody with that kind of an ass there, but then who's also armed with some sort of with a taser, some sort of a weapon with which to subdue him.
And as a woman, that would also help you decide whether or not you were going to go jogging in the vicinity of Nike, because you would know whether or not your particular ass fits the profile.
That's what I'm saying. So it's sort of like if you were living in the. You know, like if you were in Salt Lake in the late 70s, you just, if you're a woman with medium-length brown hair, maybe you just stayed inside when night came, you know, because you end up in the back of a guy's van. You know, the whole Ted Bundy thing.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Well, in the past, victims have described the man as Hispanic, clean-shaven, and 20 to 30 years old, riding a BMX-style bicycle.
He's on a BMX bicycle, really?
Yes.
That's just embarrassing. Some guy in a Huffy coming up and getting his grope on. Oh, that's different. That's like being groped by one of those guys on a Razor scooter or on. Well, let me ask you this: What is it with the guys who have the miniature motorcycle? And when I say miniature, I mean it's like the size of a skateboard.
They're like the little clown bikes that the Shriners ride in parades.
Yeah, and it sounds like a roided up mosquito as it zips by my house in the evenings, and I just pray for something horrible to happen to those guys. I mean, not that I need to pray very long, because it's really, honestly, if you're driving one of those things, it's just a matter of time till they're hosing you out of the front of a Buick. I just long to be there when it happens. Here's Dawn Taylor.
By the way, did you have additional stories with audio that you were going to give me?
I printed them. Did I hand them to you?
No.
All right. There we go. This is, there you go. That's the second stack right there.
Thank
so we've
you.
Got the previous stack, and then we've got this stack. Stack number two. Stack the second.
Well, I'm just going to grab one of these blindly at random from the stack since I haven't had a chance to see them yet.
Great.
So we'll see. It's news roulette.
How could that go wrong?
No. One step closer to completion, BP is in the process of pumping cement into its ruptured oil well in the Gulf of Mexico. National Incident Commander Thad Allen says this is not the end, but will virtually assure there's no chance of oil leaking into the environment.
Did he really say that?
We're about to hear.
But is that like a parody of something he would say? I can't tell if this is a real news story, if you're just sort of... If now we're just trying to write stories about things that Thad Allen might presumably say at some point.
Well, let's listen to this audio clip titled Milestone and see what he has to say.
We will have created a significant milestone and made a major step forward probably by tomorrow when the cementing is done. And I think we can all breathe a little easier regarding the potential that we'll have oil in the Gulf ever again.
Okay.
Allen says this is not the end, but it will virtually assure there's no chance of oil leaking into the environment. He also reaffirmed his commitment to the people of the Gulf Coast.
I will say once again to the people of the Gulf that we are committed to finishing this cleanup, holding BP accountable, and we will continue to do that. But our focus will become more locally focused.
Our focus, I'm sorry, I didn't even know he was done there. Our focus will become more locally focused.
Right. We're going to locally focus our focus on locally things.
Let me ask you this. What does Thad Allen do? I know that you said this in the lead up to the actual story, but what is his title? What is his actual position?
He's the National Incident Commander.
What does that mean, do you suppose? BP?
I believe that in the case that there is an incident that affects us nationally, he is in command of curing the problem caused by that incident.
For BP?
I think any incident.
But, I mean, in other words, he's not a government...
No, I think he's a government official.
Not a government employee. Okay, so
he's a government employee.
Ah, okay. So that explains it. So he's just been stuck with this gig.
Right.
He's just been stuck with this gig, but he's making the best of it because he figures if he does well here, it's like the Peter principle. If he does well here, he will be then promoted into a more desirable job.
Yeah, isn't he like a former Coast Guard admiral, something like that?
I have no idea. Let's listen one more time. Just see what he has. The second cut is commitment.
I will say once again to the people of the Gulf that we are committed to finishing this cleanup, holding BP accountable. And we will continue to do that. But our focus will become more locally focused.
Okay. Because the government is fantastic at holding corporations accountable for things. Really, you can't find an organization that is more bent on making corporations follow the letter of the law and pay an appropriate fine, fines that are commensurate with whatever damage they might inflict on a community or an environment, than the government. That is job number one with the government, is making corporations pay their fair share and do their part of the work, Don. And I won't hear otherwise.
A Washington County Sheriff's deputy is recovering from an eye injury after investigators say someone pointed a laser at him. Deputy Glenn Howard had just responded to a harassment call at the Riverwood Heights Apartments on July 17th. He was sitting in his patrol car when he saw and felt a green laser on his face. Howard says he thought someone might be pointing a gun at him, since green lasers are sometimes used as target guides on firearms. He jumped out of his car, but said the laser stayed trained on his face, at one point burning his left eye. Howard and a responding officer tried to find the suspect, but the person disappeared. He went to the emergency room.
I got so many questions about this. So this is one of those things. This is one of those things that I never really understand the truth, because I have heard so many variations on the what kind of laser is bad for you and what color of laser is dangerous. When I was in high school, many of my compatriots, most of whom are from drama club, we would just all go over to this one guy's basement, and in half the room would just huff paint thinner, and the other half would just drink whatever they could, you know, get out of the Jimmy Eat Open liquor cabinet. And then this Pink Floyd video would inevitably be put on. It wasn't the wall. It was like the Delicate Sound of Thunder DVD or something, or the VHS. And so we'd put that in, and everybody would. And at some point during the viewing of this Pink Floyd live performance video cassette, some would make the observation that, you know, well, they have red lasers and blue lasers at the Floyd show, but they don't have gold lasers. And then somebody else in the room would say, why not? And then the first person would say, well, they're not allowed to have gold lasers. It's illegal because it'll split atoms or something, and it just it'll burn you. Mm-hmm. And then it would just sort of trail off into nothing. But that would then lead to this discussion about what color of laser was dangerous. And all of which just sort of sounds made up, right? I mean, it just seems like you wouldn't even be allowed to own that if it could actually just burn your eyes.
Yeah, I I don't know what to think about this story because if it was just like, you know, any kind of a laser, like a laser pointer or something, and he looked in the direction and it actually shined, you know, it actually went directly into his eye, it could cause some cornea damage. But the fact that he says he felt it on his face and he actually felt a burning sensation in his eye, I have no idea what that means because I don't know anything about lasers really. And I don't know if they're just making this up. I don't know.
Well, I wonder about that when they say that if you look at, like, if you have a laser pointer, like the kind that some dick at your company uses to talk, you know, yeah. to use, like, during a PowerPoint presentation, when they say that it can cause eye damage, I call BS on that as well. I think that's a thing they have to put on there, because I guess if somebody took it and jammed it into your eye and, like, ground it in with the heel of their shoe, it could harm you. But in this litigious country of ours, if pointing a laser at your eye that you could get at, like, Walmart for $1.99, if that caused damage, there's just no way they'd sell it. They wouldn't sell it at all.
And considering how prevalent they are and how many people buy them and use them for cat toys and such, there would be people in the emergency room with burned out corneas all the time.
That's what I'm saying.
Because people are idiots.
Because somebody, I don't believe it. And then they look at it and it immediately, they're in Patchville. So it's I instinctively disbelieve that claim that laser pointers are bad for you. Now, I'm sure that there's some guy at Los Alamos that's probably got a laser you don't want to stare at. So it is conceivable that this guy had some actual... This phrase sounds made up, but it's not like a weaponized laser of some kind where it had been raised to a sufficient sort of... We should make a note and we should talk about this next hour.
Because
this
is the sort of thing we can
figure out next hour. All right. Laser. There we go. You are listening to Legion of News right here at pdx.fm. You can also find archives of this program on this very fine website as well as at legionofnews.com or via iTunes. You can find those on iTunes and here at pdx.fm. Coming up at 1 o'clock at rickemerson.com, the Rick Emerson radio program. Our guest today, Anna Griffin from The Oregonian, will also count down the top five songs from October 20th, 1973, October 20th, 1973. That is coming up later on today, 1 o'clock on the Rick Emerson Show. This is Dawn Taylor at the Legion of News News Desk.
President Obama visited a Ford plant today where the new Ford Explorer will be built. He talked about recovery and says that the auto industry and the economy are on their way back, but still not where they need to be.
What do you think he's going to say during this cut, without using any of the phrasing that you actually just uttered right there? Do you have any guesses to the key words that will be uttered during this soundbite?
He will say something about how folks are working hard, and times have been hard for folks, but the economy is coming back, and I don't know.
My guess, and I don't know if he'll do this or not, my guess is that he'll have some sort of bad pun where he talks about being on, we're on the road to recovery.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe not, but if he doesn't, he ought to. All right, let's find out.
It's going to take more time to heal from all the damage that was done. But we're beginning to see our efforts pay off. We are headed in the right direction. We are moving forward. The industry isn't just on the way back. It's on the way to being number one again. I
felt like I was so close there.
I know.
And then it was like he would dangle it in front of me and then he would veer away just to frustrate me.
I hate it when he says gonna. Because, I mean, he is a very well-spoken man. He's a very well-educated man. And you know, when he gives a State of the Union address...
And he drops his G's.
He doesn't, he doesn't, you know. When he's speaking to Congress, he doesn't say gonna. But when he's speaking to just the plain folks...
Yeah.
Then he does that whole folksy, I'm talking your language. I'm just like you. I'm going to say ain't and gonna.
Well, that is the lingering legacy of Dale Carnegie, is what you're hearing right there. Because that was Dale. That was like the first piece of advice that Dale Carnegie always gave people, to talk to them the way they talk to you. And so if you ever, like if you watch Sales Guys, the first thing Sales Guys will come out to do is they'll say hello, or they'll say something very short to elicit a response from you so that they can engage what kind of vocabulary you use. And then they can sort of adjust the way they speak so that they're, so you don't feel like they're outsmarting you. No one likes to talk to a guy who's outstripping them in terms of vocabulary.
Yes, but I like voting for someone who I think may, I don't know, be smarter than me.
Oh, no, I don't disagree with you on that. I'm just saying...
This was one of the problems that I had with Bush, you know, that many of us had with Bush. I want my president to be intelligent.
Yeah.
I want him to have actually like paid attention in those Ivy League classes that he attended.
Well, I know I'm
I want him to know about a lot more things than I know about because he's in charge of everything.
That's the thing is, I know that I certainly am not. It would be foolish to put me in charge of a toaster, much less like, you know, the actual government, the military. So I want a guy who's way smarter than I am. I like a guy who's 100 times smarter than I am. And it was a uniquely disconcerting feeling to just sit there and sense that you were way more intelligent than the guy who had first strike capability in the Oval Office. So yeah, I'm with you on that.
Anyway, Obama says Ford will receive a $250 million export-import bank loan.
Hooray! That's awesome. All right.
You have sound.
Do I actually have sound?
Yeah.
This will help Ford export more than 200,000 cars and trucks overseas. And that means more production and more manufacturing jobs right here in the United States of America.
Ah, for the love of Christ.
For all you folks who are needing jobs.
You know what would help you? You know what would help you export cars overseas? If you just made cars that people overseas wanted to buy. How about that?
Or made cars that people here wanted to buy.
Yeah, I drive a Ford. I have no complaints about my Ford. My Ford runs fine. No problem with it. If only you could do that with the other six continents.
Mm. Or maybe here's an idea. Restore those import tariffs that we used to have. Remember those? When we used to actually make people pay more money if they wanted to sell their goods here in the United States so that, you know, we had a foot up with the things we made here in the United States? Import tariffs? Hello?
That's
remember?
It's really bizarre. I feel like now I feel like I have to be Alan Combs now. What happened to protectionism? Right. Where's Pat Buchanan these days? Where is Pat Buchanan? Pat Buchanan? Quo Vadimus? Quo Vadim? Vadimus? I can never remember how to suffix that correctly. Ah, my Latin is weak. Anyway.
Yes, and I have so much less respect for you because your Latin is weak.
No, it's okay. I hadn't thought about Pat Buchanan in a while because I'm a big fan of that guy. And he'd completely fallen into the deep storage of my memory until you were talking about tariffs now, which, of course, that was one of his big things, is that he would just sit there and go apoplectic about how we don't have enough import tariffs on things and we've got to make it more difficult for people to buy things from other countries, which is an odd thing to hear from a guy or from anybody who presumably favors the free market. We have to make it difficult to buy what you want.
It is kind of hilarious that import tariffs used to be like, the boogeyman, the thing for the right wing. And then it's only been because the economy has like gone so in the toilet because of the sort of free market, open everything up to everybody. Let's just ship all our manufacturing overseas into Mexico. Now suddenly all of the liberals are like, hey, yeah, tariffs.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Those actually were a good idea.
Well, it's amazing what'll happen to people when you take away their jobs and their livelihood. Strangely enough, people tend. It's that thing about, the joke about what, conservative is a liberal who's been mugged. So there's sort of a figurative mugging, I think, that's happened to everybody, which is why you will find all kinds of people who would never, ever, ever identify themselves as being anything. They might not call themselves liberal, but they certainly wouldn't call themselves conservative. They call themselves progressive. That's why you hear them saying things like, well, we just got to make it more difficult for people to, export jobs or to import goods or to, like opposite of whatever it is that they were in favor of 10 years ago.
Yes.
So it's, Now you fire people, they get fiscally conservative pretty quickly. Here's Don Taylor.
A 52-year-old man changing a tire on the shoulder of an Interstate 5 off-ramp was struck and killed Wednesday by a passing car. Gregory Hampton's wife called him after a tire on her car went flat on the I-5 southbound off-ramp to Main Street in Vancouver, Washington, said Don Johnson of a Clark County Fire District 6 news release.
Wait, was he changing? I missed that. Was he changing his own tire or somebody else's tire?
He parked his car behind his wife's car. His wife called him for help changing her tire. Parked his car behind his wife's car, started to change the tire as she watched for traffic. She tried to warn her husband of an approaching car that was swerving onto the shoulder, but it was too late. The approaching car struck him.
The moral of the story is never help anyone else. Let them change their own tire.
Get AAA and make the AAA guy risk his life.
That's you have him put his life on the line.
Right.
That's what you pay your $40 a month for.
Paramedics pronounced Hampton dead at the scene, according to Washington State Patrol.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Washington State Patrol troopers said the driver was distracted, and that's what caused him to drift over the fog line and crash into Hampton. No charges have been filed against the driver, who police said is cooperating.
Over the fog line? What is that?
I have no idea.
That must be the yellow yellow strip at the side of the road because you can see it during the fog.
In the fog.
It's what you're supposed to keep your eye on.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a uniquely unnerving situation, too. Whenever you're driving along the road and you realize you can't actually see anything in front of you, and so you are navigating by the white strip to, you know, to your immediate right. Mm-hmm. That's and the only guy, well, not the only guy, but the first guy I ever knew who was killed this way, because I've actually had more than one acquaintance of mine who's been killed while changing a tire by the side of the road. It was actually during a foggy night, and he was driving along on the highway, and he saw some other guy with his car broken down, a guy with a flat tire, and he Tom foolishly pulled over and said, "Hey, let me help you with that. Let me be a good Samaritan," you know, and he's dead. So, you know, that's a you just take that guy to a payphone up the road and let him puzzle out the rest of the scenario by himself. Here's Don Taylor.
Port of Portland police arrested a man on theft charges after they said he stole at least three sets of golf clubs and other luggage from airport luggage carousels. Several travelers have reported stolen luggage over the past few weeks at Portland International Airport. That led Port of Portland police to examine surveillance video in search of a possible thief. Officers said they spotted Stephen Ball stealing a bag. They arrested him Tuesday morning after following him to a MAX station. He confessed to the theft after being confronted. Airport travelers said having their luggage stolen can be a huge setback. To use your luggage, I mean, if it goes to another airport, that's expected and that happens, said Todd Warner, who was visiting Portland on Wednesday. But to have your luggage stolen in heightened security, that's hard to swallow. Investigators searched Ball's home in Gresham after his arrest and said they found even more stolen property. He pleaded not guilty in court Wednesday afternoon.
I am always amazed that more luggage isn't stolen from airports because there's nobody there to verify it.
Well, you know? I've been to airports, usually in California, where they actually check your luggage tag. Because when you check, if you check a bag, they give you a tag, and it's stapled to like your boarding pass thing.
Right.
And then I've been to airports where they would check that tag against the tag on your luggage. But, you know, Portland is not one of those airports. And yeah, I'm surprised there isn't more luggage stolen, because it's like, You could just pick up anything and just walk out with it.
Maybe we could do that if we didn't have all of our manpower up at the other end of the line making me take off my socks and empty out my water bottle.
Yeah. And of course, you know, going through your luggage and stealing stuff out of it for themselves.
It's just an allegation,
after you've
Dawn.
Checked it.
And that's a broad stereotype.
Not really, because I've heard more firsthand accounts from people I know having stuff stolen from their luggage since Homeland Security upped security.
I'm being sarcastic because, you know, that happened at PDX last 18 months ago, 2 years ago. There was a huge deal at PDX where they just found all kinds of things that were gone. I think they just had to sack scores of people because they ended up going to some guy's house, actually, if memory serves.
Oh, yeah.
I think they found
like a whole like Costco full of crap stolen from suitcases.
He was like one of those postal workers that just goes crazy and just keeps everything at his apartment for years and years and years. Yeah, they went through guys' house and he was just running like a Minute Mart out of his apartment of just junk that he had taken out of people's suitcases and luggage and crap at the... Because, I mean, it's just, you know, when you go to the airport, and it's just like, it's just minimum wage with a gun. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, so when they're not busy, like, scanning your penis, you know, with some sort of an X-ray machine, they're just rooting around and seeing if there's anything tasty inside your luggage that they want to take home with them as a present to their wives. Now, that's a given. I just assume that.
Let's do a little science news, shall we?
It's time for Science on the March, part of Legion of News, right here at pdx.fm.
One of the most common bat species could face extinction in the Northeast within decades due to white nose syndrome, a disease that's now rapidly spreading. While bats may have a bad reputation, frightening many people, they are vital in controlling insects that not only annoy, but spread disease to people and animals. The threatened little brown bat has been known to eat its weight in insects in a night. Yet researchers, led by biology professor Thomas H. Kuntz, of Boston University, report in Friday's edition of the journal Science that white nose syndrome, caused by a fungus, could all but wipe out the little brown bat in the Northeast in 20 years. The syndrome was first discovered near Albany, New York in 2006, and since then bats have declined from 30% to 99% in various areas. The illness has been confirmed in 115 bat hibernating locations in Canada and the U.S., ranging as far south as Tennessee and west to Oklahoma. Last month, the U.S. Forest Service said it is barring entry to caves on service-owned land in Colorado, Wyoming, Nebraska, Kansas, and South Dakota to help prevent people from inadvertently spreading the disease there. And the New Mexico-based Center for Biological Diversity has asked state wildlife officials across the country to consider closing state-owned caves to the public to prevent the spread of the illness.
Now, it's not a human disease, though, is it?
No, it's a fungus that grows on the nose, the wing membranes, and ears of bats while they hibernate in caves and mines during the winter.
Oh, but they just don't want people to go in and, like, somehow bring it to, like, a different cave or something. Or, like, you take a bat home with you and then it, you know.
And the fungus actually causes the bats to wake up frequently while they're supposed to be hibernating.
Oh, I see.
And so that burns up their fat stores and they die before spring. So it's wiping out the bats.
See, I find any disease that afflicts... I find myself... I was thinking about this the other day, actually. We were talking about Shark Week. And I was saying that I find it difficult to watch Shark Week now because it just... because let's be honest, the fundamental appeal of Shark Week is the idea that sharks are these sort of these like evil hell beasts.
Yeah.
In fact, as the trailer for Jaws says, it is as though God created a devil and gave it Jaws. Which, right there, it just tells you how man views the shark, which, and I guess with some justification, I understand why that is the case, but... You know, but largely because of that, there's just, there's not a lot of sympathy for sharks out there. And so they just get, just slaughtered by the thousands because some guy in Japan decides that he needs a stronger erection. So, so I find myself not being able to watch Shark Week because of that. And now this bat story, along with this thing I was watching last night about the Tasmanian devil, I've realized that here's the thing. In nature, not only do I root for nature to destroy man most of the time, I especially root for creatures that are viewed as awful or horrible in some way. Shark, bat, Tasmanian devil, there you go, duckbill platypus. Mm-hmm. So if a creature is viewed as villainous or evil in some way, the fire ant, which, you know, is the sort of thing that I'm terrified of and, you know, is my sworn enemy, but in a sort of, but in a kind of Kirk and Khan way where you sort of have a, a grudging respect for one another.
I'm not sure if I ever told you this, but when I was a small child, my father told me that forest fires were caused by fire ants.
Yes.
Yes. That they rub sticks together while building nests, and that causes sparks that set off forest fires.
Here's the thing,
hence
though.
Hence their name.
Like, if you found out that that was true, would it really surprise you? If you found out that they had that ability, would it come as a huge shock? Probably
no,
not.
The crazy things my father told me as a child were just plausible enough that many of them I believed into adulthood, and then one day would go, wait a minute.
Yeah.
They didn't film part of Wizard of Oz in black and white because they ran out of money.
The thing about fire ants, though, is they're just so unbelievably indestructible that it does seem like they've been bioengineered, in a government laboratory somewhere, or they're from that. The hell is it that James Brolin movie? Is James Brolin the star of that movie Bug about cockroaches that breathe fire?
God, well, I don't know.
Whatever. Anyway,
I remember in elementary school, I saw a bunch of these nature documentaries, one right after the other, and there was something about some kind of an insect that was or snake that was so venomous it could kill like a cow. And then I saw that about the same time as I saw this thing about trapdoor spiders.
Yeah.
And I somehow conflated in my mind. So well into adulthood, I believed that somewhere out in the desert, there was this breed of spider that lived under the ground and would leap out at cows and kill them.
Awesome.
And then I would say that to people. It's like, yeah, well, there's these trapdoor spiders that are so poisonous they could kill cows. And people would go, no, Don, that doesn't actually exist. Yes, it is. I saw it. And then it turns out... I was just wrong.
Well, in a pre-Snopes era, it was easy to believe such things. I can grant you that. Remind me to tell you about the spider forest in front of my house one of these days. All right, here's Dawn Taylor.
Sex apparently can help your brain grow, according to new findings in rats. Sexually active rodents also seemed less anxious than virgin rats, according to Princeton scientists. Past findings had shown that stressful, unpleasant events could stifle brain cell growth in adults. To see if pleasant, albeit stressful, experiences could have the opposite effect, researchers studied the effects of sex in rats. Scientists played matchmaker by giving adult male rats access to sexually receptive females either once daily for 2 weeks or just once in 2 weeks. They also measured blood levels of stress hormones, which researchers suspected might lie behind the detrimental effects that unpleasant experiences have on the brain. When compared with male virgins, both groups of sexually active rats had cell proliferation, or an increase in the number of neurons in the hippocampus, a part of the brain linked with memory whose cells are especially sensitive to unpleasant experiences. The rats that had more sex also had adult brain cells grow, as well as a rise in the number of connections between the brain cells. However, the rodents that only saw females once in 2 weeks had elevated levels of stress hormones, while the rats that had regular access showed no increase in the hormones. Sexually experienced rodents also proved less anxious than the virgins in that they were quicker to chomp down on food in unfamiliar environments.
I wonder if the sexually receptive female rats were found at the rat food court at the rat mall. They were hanging out by the
Gresham of Ratland.
Wearing a Raiders hoodie. And on a payphone screaming to their girlfriend about how he better pay his child support or I'll have him put away. You know, theoretically speaking. Or on a rat max.
Well, anyway, there you go. Having lots of sex will make you less stressed out and could make your brain get smarter.
I know that this is an obvious observation, but I mean, why do we need studies like this? This is one of those things where they've run out of... This is where they need to use up their budget by the end of the year or if it's going to get cut. So they got to find a way to blow like $300 million. They said, let's find out if sex makes you happier and less stressed.
Well, the thing is, it's not news that having plenty of sex will probably make you feel less stressed. But the idea that it actually promotes cell growth in your brain...
That doesn't surprise me, though,
and because... And increases the connectivity between the neurons. That's... pretty cool.
Yeah, I guess, but I mean, if you operate under the assumption that generally speaking, stress inhibits health, and if health inhibits growth, then you got to figure that lack of stress promotes health and therefore promotes growth. So I'm all for rats getting a break now and again. I mean, normally we're just jabbing them with needles and setting them on fire. You know, we're doing a study to see what happens to rats if you put them in a blender. Does it make them happy or sad? So I'm all for rats getting more sex. God love them, they've earned it. But it doesn't really surprise me.
Of course, it also just gives lie to my personal belief that I've always held that stupider people just seem to be happier.
Well, no, that's true.
Yeah, but apparently, though, if you're happy, you should be smarter because you'd be less stressed. Therefore, your brain is growing more cells.
Well, I don't think it says happier. I think it says less stressed. I don't think those are the same thing. I think, you know... Now I don't even know.
See? Yeah.
Oh, my God, I've gone dumb. Wait, but I'm really happy. Wait, I need to have more sex or less. I don't even know anymore. What's my name? What year is it? Who are you?
You need to find a sexually receptive rat.
I don't even know where to go with that. All right. Are we still in Science on the March?
Nope, that was it.
All right, there we go. There's your Science on the March. All right, so wait a minute. So let me just... Now I do feel dense because I can't quite figure this out. Okay, so the stupid guy at the mall who has 10 kids.
Yeah.
He's less stressed, therefore happier, therefore smarter, but therefore then becomes less happy.
The problem being, though, that it's not... The rats don't have to actually, like, earn a living and raise the young that are born from them having lots of sex.
Yeah, trust me, neither does the guy at the mall.
Yeah, but the guy... A lot of times the guy at the mall...
Let me tell you.
The guy at the mall tries, you know, and then he goes home and his horrible harridan of a wife is shrieking at him and he's got 10 kids and everybody wants an iPod and it's, you know, and he can't afford an iPod and then they scream at him and then there's a soccer game he's supposed to go to, but he's too tired. And, you know, so the sex is offset by just the sheer stress of having children.
I like in your head, it's just like the opening sketch from Every Sperm is Sacred or something. All right. It's like a cross between that and Charlie Bucket's House.
Isn't it?
Isn't that
what it's like to have children?
I've got no choice but to sell you all for medical experiments. All right. You're listening to Legion of News right here at PDX.FM. Don't forget, this show is also archived later on at PDX.FM, at legionofnews.com, and you can hear it via iTunes as well. Coming up at 1 o'clock, the Rick Emerson radio program. Today we have a taser watch, cannibal watch, a clown watch. Anna Griffin from the Oregonian will be here. We'll talk about the top five songs from 1973, October 20th, 1973.
And apparently there's something we're supposed to talk about at the beginning of the show before Anna Griffin gets here that you told me to remind you to talk about.
What was that? You were going to write it down.
I don't know. You wouldn't tell me.
That's not true.
No, it is true. You said you wouldn't tell me because you wanted to, like,
okay, but you remember the subject.
Not really.
You were aware of the subject when you left yesterday. It was just the specific question that I wouldn't tell. This doesn't make sense to anybody who's listening right now. So at the end of yesterday's Rick Emerson show, we were here with Dan Hanico from Powell's Books.
Okay.
And we were talking about something or other. And we were talking about Brett Favre sending pictures of his penis.
Okay, yeah.
To a reporter. And then we were talking about guys who post personals ads or post Craigslist personals or whatever, where they say, like, and here's a picture of my junk. And look how it's all aroused. Aren't you aroused? Come over now. And how that doesn't really work because guys are dumb and they don't know how the female mind operates.
Right.
Not like I, Rick Emerson. We were talking about women and what women like to see. In other words, what women find attractive on a man and what they don't. And I had a very specific question.
I had mentioned that I liked upper arms, and that was why I used to date drummers.
But that many women are partial to male backsides.
Right.
And I had a specific question. See, now I'm having to do, why do I even have you? This is like it's a Freaky Friday thing where I've remembered and you've forgotten. And I had a specific question about that. But I said I didn't want to give the question out yesterday because then it would be hard to pretend we hadn't heard it before.
Well, I didn't realize I was supposed to remember the context. I knew that what I stored in my brain was, you said, remind me to ask you this question tomorrow. And I said, well, what's the question? You said, I'm not going to tell you. And that was it. That was what got, like, burned to my memory banks.
No, that's not going to be enough because I would never remember that either. Because most of the time I don't remember.
And yet you did.
I don't remember that there's but here's the thing. I had completely forgotten about the entire thing until you just said. So what it is you are the string around the Rick Emerson mental finger. Because you went, isn't there a thing I'm supposed to ask you before Anna Griffith? And I went, aha. And then I pieced it all back together. So I had stored it all away. You know what it is? It's like having a really meticulously filled in day planner that I then lose somewhere. So once I find the day planner, everything's in there. Yeah. You just reminded me to go, you know, you handed me the day planner, then I was able to open it and look for the right thing. Here's Dawn Taylor at the Legion of News news desk.
Well, let's jump straight into the entertainment news.
Here's your entertainment news for Thursday on the Legion of News program.
Representatives for the Beach Boys are threatening to sue Katy Perry. The singer included the group's classic line, "I wish they all could be California girls," in her song, California Girls, with a U. Rondor Music fired off a letter to Perry's label, Capitol Records, demanding Mike Love and Brian... What? Oh, demanding Mike Love and Brian Wilson be given a writing credit on Perry's hit summer song, as well as royalties. A record industry source said, Rondor Music has sent a letter to Capitol on behalf of Love and Wilson, saying Katy has cribbed one of the most famous lyrics in history, so Love and Wilson should be entitled to a writing credit and a portion of the royalties. The legendary line is uttered by Snoop Dogg at the very end of Perry's track, which sold more than 3 million copies so far, making it the anthem of the summer.
Meanwhile, Brian Wilson reached for comment and said,
Brian likes Katy's record, according to his rep, and doesn't know where the situation stands.
I would guarantee that Brian Wilson doesn't know what he had for breakfast this morning.
No.
Probably isn't aware of whether he had shoes on when he had said breakfast. So, Mike Love, I completely buy this from. Mike Love, of course, every group in my experience, every group has the sort of Keith and Mick push and pull. Well, there's one guy who just wants to sit at home, and just figure out how to play like a diminished eighth chord or something. And then there's another guy who has like the green Scrooge visor shade on and is just sitting there surrounded by piles of money and ringing up tallies on a register somewhere and trying to figure out how he can get 5 more cents per album sold in Indonesia. Mike Love is that guy in the Beach Boys, which is really just Beach Boy at this point because it's just Mike Love.
Yeah.
It's like Mike Love and John Stamos and then a bunch of guys he found at a Greyhound station touring every year. So I have to say, as much as I don't want to, I really do love that Katy Perry song. And it's one of those things where I wish so much that I could dislike it because I dislike her. Because she bugs the hell out of me. But what are you gonna do? The song is a song. So it's a great song. It never even occurred to me that they would be. You know who ought to be suing her ass, though? If I don't think anybody should, because, I mean, when the line is a line, what are you gonna do? If somebody based on this sort of pretense was going to be suing her, it would be Jill Sobule.
Well, yeah.
For the I Kissed a Girl thing, especially because Katy Perry didn't. said at one point, she said, well, you know, the song title for I Kissed a Girl, it came to me in a dream. That was Katy Perry's sort of justification. She said, well, it came to me in a dream. That's how I woke up. And it was like the Archangel Gabriel visited her while she slumbered away in the arms of Morpheus, which we know isn't true because, A, she didn't write the song herself. She wrote it with a team of songwriters. And, hey, she was signed by the same guy who signed Jill Sobule. So there you go. So the anecdotal evidence seems very strong that Katy Perry or her people ripped the title off from Jill Sobule. So this is like two in a row for her, partially copying somebody else's song.
There won't be an encore for Sean Penn and Robin Wright's marriage. Court records show the couple are now officially divorced.
I thought they were divorced like 50 years ago.
No.
I thought he married somebody else since then.
A judgment was entered July 22nd in Marin County. So apparently their marriage has been on again, off again. Wright filed for divorce last August, the third time the couple petitioned to either separate or divorce.
It's a tumultuous relationship, Tom.
Yes. They will share custody of their 16-year-old son. They also have a 19-year-old daughter.
A 19-year-old daughter? How old am I? Oh, my God, I'm 37.
They've been married for 14 years.
Christ almighty. All right. Robin Wright Penn. Robin Wright Penn looks like... I saw a picture of her the other day, actually, and she sort of looks like... God, what is her name? What is her name? There's an older actress that she is sort of slowly morphing into. She was the...
Jessica Tandy.
No. Gloria Stewart. She was the Maybelline spokeswoman for a long time. She was even when she was an older woman. Lauren Hutton.
Oh,
she's turning into sort of a Lauren Hutton, which is not a bad thing. Worse things in life to be than Lauren Hutton.
And Lauren Hutton's turning into a velociraptor, though. I mean, have you seen her lately? Oh, yeah.
Maybe they changed. Maybe they exchanged epidermi. Maybe they just sort of did sort of a swapping kind of a thing. Because Robin Wright Penn, who was just stunningly beautiful when she was younger, and who bore a striking resemblance to my favorite Victoria's Secret model back when I was young enough to have such things. And I think that my favorite Victoria's Secret model actually was my favorite because she looked like Robin Wright Penn.
And the circle of life continues.
That's what I'm saying. And so it just becomes, then it's a whole perpetual motion thing. And I'm on the cover of Omni. So Lauren Hutton looks like a velociraptor, really?
I don't know. I've always thought she was awesome, but the last few times I've seen her,
like plastic surgery wise,
no, just getting kind of leathery and drawn looking.
I gotta look her up.
And she's and sporting. And there's a point when she was young and supple and gorgeous. The space between the teeth was kind of cool and sexy.
Oh wow!
And now she just looks kind of scary.
Get that filled in. Oh wow! No!
Yeah. See.
No, I'm looking at these photos. It's like somebody has... I just went to... Jesus, she's turned into Willem Dafoe. I mean, that's what it is. It's a... Oh, my God. Okay, here's the thing. Honestly, I swear to Christ, I said that, and then I scrolled down, and someone has got a picture of her next to Willem Dafoe as like a separated birth thing. Okay, well, I feel better because that means I'm not the first one to say that out loud, that I am not the first one to think that. Well, that's unfortunate. Well, somebody, it's time to put away the cameras and draw the blinds. All right. You're listening to Legion of News right here at PDX.fm. Don't forget the Rick Emerson Show comes up at 1 o'clock today. This is Dawn Taylor.
Lily Allen is expecting a baby. In a statement, the singer and her boyfriend Sam Cooper say they are very happy to confirm Lily is expecting their first child. Allen told the Sun newspaper that she was 3 months pregnant and absolutely delighted. Allen has been dating 32-year-old painter and decorator Cooper for a year. The statement released Thursday said Allen would continue with performances, including a gig at England's Big Chill Festival on Sunday. Last month, she supported Jay-Z at London's Wireless Festival.
Lily Allen is one of those people I completely forgot about. She existed, and then she just completely fell out of my brain, whereas Amy Winehouse remained. I wonder what Amy Winehouse is doing right now. Wait. I'm guessing she is scratching at a particularly large scab between her first and second toes on her right foot. That's just my guess, right? I could be way off.
I could see that.
It's an artist rendering. Here's Dawn Taylor.
New on television tonight, a new episode of River Monsters on Discovery. Jeremy fishes for bull sharks in South Africa's freshwater rivers. On TNA Wrestling Impact on Spike, Ric Flair fills out his Fortune Alliance. Also, Motor City Machine Guns versus Beer Money in a steel cage match, with Beer Money up 2-0 in the best of five series.
This is like you're reading cricket scores. I don't really understand what you were just saying there. Are you sure you weren't We were talking yesterday about horse names. Are you sure that's not what you were doing just there when they talk about beer money and no time to lose? Our neck and neck. All right. Also, Ric Flair is apparently still alive in wrestling.
Yeah. Who knew?
I figured he'd be all Mr. Glass by this point and whatnot. I mean, he's like 100 years old. Don't get me wrong. I like Ric Flair and all. He seems like a good guy. But, I mean, Jesus God. Does he still have the weird gorgeous George hair going on? He must.
Don't follow wrestling at all, so I would have
no idea. Oh, that's a lie, Dawn. Of course you do. Everyone does. Did you ever follow professional wrestling at any point?
No. Although I watched a lot of roller derby when I was a kid.
We had
brilliant local roller derby in L.A.
All right. Well,
but
that's sort of an equivalent. They're cousin sports, one might say. Here's Dawn Taylor.
There's also a new episode of Futurama on Comedy Central. Tonight's episode is That Darn Cats. Earth is overrun by a race of intelligent felines.
Now, have you finished the Lethal Inspection episode?
No,
that you're watching
as
right
you
now?
Saw, I was still watching that this morning when you came in.
It's
so.
Great. It really is a fantastic. I don't know that it's the best that they've had since they've come back, because they've all been really, really great. But
was that the most recent one?
No,
am I caught up yet?
Lethal Inspection was. I believe it was 2 weeks ago. So,
okay.
In other words, the week before Thursday. So I think I have not seen last week's, I believe.
Well, I follow Maurice LaMarche on Facebook, as I mentioned the other day. And he said that you'll laugh, you'll cry, that it's the most touching episode.
Lethal Inspection?
Is that Lethal Inspection?
This is Lethal Inspection you're watching right now. This is the one that I said had the really sweet.
Okay.
It did, in a lesser man. I might have teared up ever since. Like, you know, if I were not quite so masculine, if I were not overflowing with machismo, I might have choked up. But it is a legitimately sweet episode, and it's got a great song at the end too, which I won't give away. I did that thing where this is exactly why I have no problem with artists putting their songs in commercials or on TV shows or movies or whatever. I did that thing where they played a song at the end of this episode, and I went, what is that? And I immediately went online, and I found it. And then I went onto the music service of my choice, and I obtained it legally and gave the artist money in exchange. Because it was just it was a great little piece of music. So, all right. You are listening to Legion of News right here at PDX.FM. In just a moment, I'll talk about how it's possible that you could be enjoying this program for the low, low cost of nothing. But first, Dawn Taylor will do one additional story.
Okay. Well, that was all of the entertainment news. So.
Damn you.
All sorry.
Right, hold on a second. I was going to bluff while I was going to have a drink of water here while you finished one additional.
Well, you know, the TV thing always comes at the end.
You know, I'm not hip to all of your fancy patterning and, and ritualizing and schedulification over on your side of the table, Dawn. I'm just a humble interstellar chicken.
A group of rabbis gathered outside the site of a proposed Islamic community center and mosque near Ground Zero in New York in a show of support for the project.
And then walked into a bar.
Rabbi Richard Jacobs said people who oppose this structure two blocks from the site of the attacks of 9/11 are not familiar with the organization's history.
Support.
It's not going to be a provocative place. It's going to be a place where there'll be remembrance, there'll be understanding, there'll be really serious educational initiatives. And because of that, it's appropriate for it to be exactly where it is.
Remembrance we'll be having.
Rabbi Richard Jacobs said the spiritual leader of the project, Imam Faisal Rauf, is someone who has a history of building trust between people of all faiths.
The founder and leader and visionary of this mosque, Imam Faisal Rauf, has been working in Lower Manhattan for over 20 years. He's been in this community building bridges of understanding and tolerance. He is a man with a track record.
I said Rauf, not Rauf.
No one knows. No one knows. No one spotted that it was incorrect. There's just too much comedic material. I don't even know where to go. Because first I was going to say, here's how my brain works. Do you ever, it's like this sort of evolution of a joke. The first thing I was going to say doesn't make any sense, but it sort of gives you a rough draft as to where I was eventually going to go. Because the first line that leapt in my head is Jim Carrey in The Mosk. Which isn't funny.
No.
But you can sort of see that there's something there. So that's one of those things that if I were a more comedically gifted man, I would take it home and sort of shape it and polish it like a piece of soapstone, and then come back tomorrow and it would be funny.
And you would actually do a Jim Carrey impression.
Yeah. See, maybe.
And
no.
Then you would be like saying something that sounds similar to something Jim Carrey would say in The Mask, to cement your joke.
Or if I was, maybe if I was like in a Judd Apatow film, I would go the Eric Stoltz mask way instead.
Yeah.
You know, so you just one step back from the mainstream. All right. In any event, so they're building a mosque where? So is it right at?
No, it's a few blocks away. But people who don't understand anything about Islam, got all.
Are you speaking now as a Muslim?
Yes.
Okay.
Speaking as a Muslim, people who don't know anything about Islam just got all up in arms about it because they're idiots.
That's fine with me. I'd be okay if they just built one right there. Just right across the street. You know why? Because, my thing is, if people are going to be pissed off anyway, you might as well just go the whole nine yards. You know what I mean? Go whole hog, as it were.
Which is not really appropriate in this case at all.
That's why I said as it were. See, that's
to
indicate that maybe that's not how it is.
Right.
See, it's a reversal of the thing.
Because of the pork thing.
You take the thing. Really, it's not like putting it a block away is going to make anybody happier. So, I mean, really, that makes no one happy. People are still pissed off at you, and then also people who presumably are on your side just say, well, why don't you just put it over there? Quit being so cowardly about it. So, whatever.
Well, Jacobs is aware that some relatives of the victims of the terrorist attacks on 9/11 think the building's proximity to the World Trade Center site shows insensitivity to the pain they feel.
That sensitivity that everyone is concerned about will be daily practiced at this cultural center. It will be a place of education, a place of cultural reflection, and for that reason, it needs to be created and it needs to be understood.
This guy is way too balanced for my taste. I'm over here trying to sow strife and division, and he's just there with you, like a United Colors of Benetton ad, trying to get everybody to hold hands and sway gently back and forth.
Well,
I don't like it.
Yes, that's exactly what he's trying
Fine,
to do.
Fine, whatever. Mr. Let's all get along and be on the same page and not blow each other up. Whatever. All right, anyway. Well, I have no segue into the cleaning solution thing. Michael Beatty is the proprietor of the cleaning solution. Yes?
If your prayer rugs are filthy.
No.
No.
No, I don't think that works. No, I've got nothing. No. It's going to make a Mark of Cain joke, and that doesn't work either.
No.
In any event, the Cleaning Solution is a local company, and they're a local company in every sense of the word. They're based here in Portland, and it's a guy who's been a longtime listener of the Rick Emerson Show. He's a supporter of Legion of News, listens to us on PDX.fm, and not only is the Cleaning Solution itself a local company, but all of his products, his supplies, his equipment, machinery, whenever possible, he gets that stuff from local businesses as well. And, of course, he keeps his advertising dollars right here in the city and on a locally based business, by which I mean the Emerson News Network. So you can contact him at 971-533-3211. He can not only clean your rug, get it back at the way, it looks the way it was when you first got it, or if you got, it's like I got this, I've talked about my dog, and this dog is getting older and also more evil, and so occasionally there's some sort of an incident either with things either going into or coming out of the dog that really, is bad, and there's no good outcome there. And so you got to get the rug, clean down again, otherwise it just looks like you live in a hovel. Nobody wants that. Don't look like you live in a hovel. That really is the upshot here. So you can get your rug clean so it looks exactly like it was when he moved in or when he went into the office, because he does industrial stuff. He does commercial cleaning as well as residential. And then they'll put you on a maintenance program so it keeps looking good. You give him a call at 971-533-3211, 971-533-3211 for your carpet repairs or upholstery, stone, tile, anything you might walk on. The Cleaning Solution, 971-533-3211. Let's do two more here and we'll wrap it up. This is Don Taylor.
Japanese eating champion Takeru Kobayashi is out of hot water following his arrest over a 4th of July Frank fracas. A judge in Brooklyn court said Thursday that the case will be purged from Kobayashi's record if he stays out of trouble for 6 months. A relieved and jovial Kobayashi said afterward that he would. "I've been up all night, nervous about the outcome, he said through an interpreter. "So now I'm thinking about what I want to eat. Steak." The slim boyish 32-year-old champ went to court in an expensive-looking dark suit, a stark contrast to his jail attire, a black T-shirt bearing the message, "Free Kobe," in green letters.
Excellent. We heard the audio from when he actually got arrested, and when he was showing up wearing a shirt with his own face on it was the moment when I really got on board with that guy.
I
embrace anybody who has the stones to do that. Let's do one more here, and we'll bring the curtain down on this whole exercise.
All right. A Texas man has been posing as a police officer to steal credit cards from people. Sugar Land police said the man has approached people of Middle Eastern or Asian descent, identified himself as a police officer, showed them a gold badge, and told them he needed to see their wallets as part of an investigation. Investigators said the man has taken credit cards out of his victims' wallets when they were distracted and then returned the wallets. He's stolen credit cards at Starbucks, Bally's Total Fitness, and in the parking lot of a department store thingy. The man was described as black with a fair complexion, 30 to 40 years old, 6 feet tall, with a heavy build and a large stomach.
In a department store thingy?
I don't know. It's the parking lot of a shopping mall or something. I couldn't think of the word.
Does it say the words on the page in front of you?
No, it gives the exact locations. It's a Starbucks.
Oh, you're sort of, okay.
At 16098 City Walk, Valley okay. Total Fit, and then at Lake Point parking lot, and then I was trying to...
So you're trying to put it in a way that might seem relatable to everyone, even if they don't live in this town.
Right, and okay. I failed miserably because...
Thingy.
The words did not come.
Thingy is sort of the canary in the coal mine there. When you hear that come out, you realize exactly where things have gone. All right.
Don't mind me just smacking into things.
Do me, since we're already a minute late, do me a favor. Drop that windscreen for a second.
Okay.
And just say howdy and hey. And
Hey, hi. I'm perplexed.
Say,
it does pop a little bit, but...
Back off for the mic just a hair.
Okay.
And say purple petunias.
Purple petunias. It's a bit of a pop.
I'm worried about that. All right. Well, we'll figure that out later. That's neither here nor there, Don Taylor. Legion of News is brought to you each and every weekday by PDX.fm and originates from the studios of the Emerson News Network. At the news desk is Don Taylor. Advanced technology and magic provided by Thomas Gill. Executive producer Bruce Agler and our chief of staff is Cheryl Kanakoa. The Rick Emerson Show begins next at rickemerson.com. This has been another exciting episode of
Legion of News on PDX.fm.